Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Welcome to worship. I'm Claire and my mom is Kelly. The best thing about my mom is how supportive she is in everything she does, like when I go to a recital or have a competition or a performance, she's always there and supporting me. We are a church that seeks to know God, love God, and serve God. Our message today is brought by young people of our congregation and Deacon Loretta Job. Today we celebrate Mother's Day by learning about mothers in the Bible who are important in the coming of Jesus. None of them were perfect, yet they put their faith in the God and the impossible, and God rewarded them for their faithfulness. Please stand and join in singing our opening song.
And my mom is Megan. The best thing about my mom is, well, she knows when I really need something. Like when our dog Anarchy passed away, I really needed another dog because I just needed something to cuddle. So my mom said that we were just gonna look at some dogs in the shelter. And she actually tricked me into getting this big lump of chicken. So please join me in opening prayer. God, we ask you to be with us in worship today. Thank you for all the many kinds of moms you've given us. Birth moms, adopted moms, foster moms, stepmoms, and all the women who lead us through life. We ask you to watch over them. We ask you to lift up their hearts when they are sad. We ask you to give them strength and encouragement to love as you love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Johnny and Maria. And our mother is Heather.
The favorite thing that I have about my mom is I have her in my life when I need her the most.
And the best thing about my mom also is she helps whenever I'm sad.
In Bible times, women were not always seen as important or treated well, very, very well. But God appreciated their true worth. Eve was the first woman and the first mother. In the Bible, her name means living things or life.
Since she was the first woman, she probably knew God pretty well. And she and Adam lived in paradise, but they got separated from God and suffered sadness when their son, Cain, killed his brother Abel. Even though all these painful things happened to Eve, she still went on to fulfill God's plan of raising the sons of earth.
My name is Kira, and my mom's name is Takami. The best thing I like about her is she makes the best cinnamon rolls. Our next mom in the Bible is Sarah. She was the wife of Abraham, but she couldn't have any children. She was very sad and hurt, but she helped to build the kingdom of God with Abraham anyways. Later in life, even though she was too old to have children, God made a miracle, and she had a son who she named Isaac, which means laughter. She never gave up on God, and her faith is a shining example of how sometimes we have to wait for God to act.
Hi, I'm Maddie, and my mom's name is Rebecca, and the best thing about my mom is she gives good hugs. There was a mom in Israel who was also named Rebecca.
She couldn't have children for a long time either. But when her husband, Isaac, prayed for her, God gave her twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Rebecca was a strong woman at a time where most women were quiet and did what they were told. Sometimes this worked out well, sometimes did not. In ancient times, the oldest son, who was Esau, would receive the father's blessing. But Rebecca tricked Isaac into giving the blessing to her favorite younger son, Jacob. Jacob was blessed by God and grew up to have 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel.
Good morning, church. It is a blessing to be with you this morning, to gather together to share our faith and praise God together. I want to start this morning by thanking Susan for putting this worship service together and for asking me to be a part of it. I also want to thank my friend and colleague, Reverend Susie Hutchison, who allowed me to bounce some ideas off of her as I was preparing this message. In the past, here at Brighton First, we would add a special prayer and blessing for the mothers on Mother's Day Sunday. Today, the children are telling you about some special mothers from the Bible and about their own mothers as well. We can't tell every story, or we'd be here a very long time. But what I would like to do is lift up a few of the women's stories that the children are sharing with us. Stories that show how mothering continues through the centuries from the time of the early Bible. So let's begin with Sarah. This part of her story can be found in Genesis 16, the first of many stories of women who conceive a child late in life. Abraham continued to love his wife Sarah, even through the disappointment of childlessness. They stayed faithful to each other and faithful to God. In their day, it was not uncommon for men to father children with other wives or with their slaves. This was the case with Abraham. He conceived a son, Ishmael, with Sarah's maid, Hagar. Needless to say, Sarah was not exactly excited at the news. According to the biblical accounts, she had treated Hagar quite terribly. When Sarah did finally give birth, she asked Abraham to send Hagar and her child away. He loved his son Ishmael, but he also loved his wife Sarah, so he allowed her to evict Hagar from the family compound and send her out alone into the desert. Perhaps you know of a young woman, pregnant, rejected by the father of her child, and maybe her family as well. But God was faithful to Sarah and fulfilled his promise of a child to her. God was also faithful to Hagar and her child as he saved them from death in the desert and helped them find and establish a new home. God can also work through us today as we support and love those who have been disenfranchised from their families for circumstances beyond their control. Our next mother is Rebecca. She was the mother of twins Jacob and Esau, and you can check out her full story in Genesis 28. The tension between these twin boys began at birth, according to the Bible, as they fought their way out of the womb, holding Esau's foot, trying to keep him from being first. Rebecca and Isaac made the mistake of choosing favorites between the twins. Life in that household must have been full of tension because of that. Rebecca added to that tension by plotting with her son Jacob against her husband and son Esau over the family inheritance. This story has more than a few high points of drama, and I highly recommend you taking a look at it. If you're old enough, you might remember the Smothers Brothers. They were a comedy group, had a variety show on TV for a while, and their catchphrase was Brother Tommy telling his brother Dick that Mother always loved him best. While it was funny to see it played out in the personalities of the two brothers, exaggerated for TV, it's not funny in reality. I was the child that was told that Mother loved my sibling better than me, and it took until we were adults to openly discuss the effects that had on our relationship and the feelings that still lingered to that day. And today we probably all know siblings that do not speak to each other for years because of something that happened in their childhood. Let's hear about some other biblical mothers.
I'm Ben, and my mom is Rebecca. The best thing about my mom is that she plays games with me all the time. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, was not appreciated in her time, but she also showed tremendous faith in God. The Egyptian pharaoh was killing Hebrew boys, so to save her son, she put him in a basket in the Nile River, hoping someone would find him and raise him. God led her baby to be found by the pharaoh's daughter, who raised him in the palace. Jochebed was hired as her own son's nurse, so that Moses would grow up knowing the godly ideals of his mother. Moses led the Hebrew people out of slavery to the land God promised them. The writer of the Hebrews honors Jochebed, saying that her faith led her to see the importance of saving her son so that he may save his people. Although little is written about Jochebed in the Bible, her story speaks powerfully to the mothers of today.
I'm Addie, and my mom is Brittany. The best thing about my mom is she gives me the best hugs and kisses. Hannah was the mother of Samuel, the prophet. She suffered long years of childlessness and bullying, but Hannah never gave up on God. She prayed and prayed for a child. She even promised God that if she had a son, she would give him to be trained as a priest to serve God. Finally, her prayers were answered, and she gave birth to her son Samuel. His name means God hears. Samuel grew up to be the last of Israel's judges, its first prophet and counselor to its first two kings, Saul and David. Since Hannah honored her promise to God and gave Samuel, God gave her 5 more children and brought great blessing to her life.
Hi, I'm Amelia, and my mom is Megan. The best thing about my mom is that she takes risks. For example, she gave me this cat, who I call Punk, because she knew how much I wanted one. And she takes a lot of risks because she's actually allergic to cats. So this is why I really like my mom. Bathsheba was mother of Solomon. King David wanted to be married to Bathsheba so much that he arranged to have her husband killed. God was so angry with David
that Bathsheba and David's first child did not survive. Even through this tragedy, Bathsheba remained loyal to David. Their next son, Solomon, was loved by God and grew up to become Israel's greatest king. David is the ancestor of Jesus, and Bathsheba is one of the only five women listed in Messiah's ancestry.
Our next mother is the mother of Moses. Many of us are familiar with the story of Moses, found floating in a wicker basket by Pharaoh's daughter in the Nile River. But a few details are sometimes overlooked in the rush to get to Moses' adventures as an adult. Jochebed gave birth to Moses just as the Pharaoh declared that all Hebrew baby boys were to be put to death. She had a tough choice. In order to save her son, she would have to give him away. And she actually had to do that twice. First, in the basket in the river, and then, again, as she was selected to be his wet nurse, she was able to raise him for three or four years, and again had to give him back to Pharaoh's daughter to go live in the palace. What strong love does it take to know that your child's future depends on your giving that child to someone else? In Moses' case, he is reunited with his biological family and goes on to lead his people to freedom. But not all reunion stories have such wonderful endings. There are many reasons that parents choose to give their child to someone else to raise. The internet is full of articles and interviews and books about what it is to be adopted, to find one's birth mother and family of origin, and what it is to be found by the child that you gave away. With the increase of DNA testing, even more people are finding that family secrets aren't so secret anymore. Jochebed made the difficult decision that many mothers have to make, to give her child away, and God was with her through it all. Hannah was a faithful woman both to God and her husband. Her inability to conceive a child for many years did not diminish her husband's love for her. He did not base her worth on her ability to conceive. However, her husband's other wives made fun of Hannah and year after year held her infertility up to disgrace and humiliate her. Hannah's prayers and patience were rewarded when she gave birth to her son Samuel. And in gratitude, she dedicated Samuel to God to direct his future and gave him up when he was a small boy. In biblical times, having children, especially sons, was considered the most important role for women. Sons meant that the family name and line would continue, that there would be a future. Sons would be there to work the fields, to tend the livestock, or run the family business. To not have sons but only daughters was considered a failure. In many parts of the modern world today, it's still the same. My husband's parents had a lot of siblings, and their siblings married and started families, and they had many children. In fact, Larry has 52 first cousins. In a conversation once with Larry's mother, she told me that she always felt like a bit of a failure, and that some family members looked down on her because she only had three children that survived. She gave birth to four boys, all who were premature and did not live more than a few days each. Today, we know more about taking care of premature babies and how to help them survive. We know more about the science of infertility and can do more to help couples conceive and start families. Our faith tells us that God does not base any woman's worth on her ability to conceive or raise children. Let's hear about our last two mothers.
I am Crew, and my mom is Chrissy. The best thing about my mom is that she is very funny, and she always makes me laugh. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. She was another miracle mother in the Bible.
She was barren and past childbearing age, but an angel of the Lord told her she would have a baby anyways. They named the baby John, as the great angel told them to. Like Hannah, Elizabeth dedicated her son to God, and he became a great prophet. Elizabeth's joy was complete when her cousin Mary visited her, who was also going to have a baby. Her baby was Jesus, who would be the Savior of the world.
Mary was the mother of Jesus. She was the most honored mother in the Bible because she raised Jesus, our Savior. She was young and poor. It was shameful for her to be pregnant before she was married, but she trusted God and did what he asked of her. She's a shining example of faith. Mary was there for all of the important moments in Jesus' life, even at his death on the cross. Jesus must have loved his mother very much because he was thinking of her even when he was dying. He asked one of his disciples to be her son and take care of her even after he was gone.
Our last two mothers are Mary and Elizabeth. These two women have a special connection, first because they are cousins and related to each other, and also because they were both visited by a messenger of God to announce their pregnancies. Imagine the conversation the two of them had when Mary visited Elizabeth before they delivered. Sharing the experience of an angelic visitation with someone would be a little scary, as most people would assume you were just a little bit crazy. But as both had a similar experience, it must have been a great relief to hear each other's story and affirm each other's experience. These two cousins were also very different. Elizabeth and her husband Zachariah had been married a long time, had established a good life, and were held in high regard by their neighbors. Scripture tells us they were considered righteous people. Elizabeth, we are told, was beyond childbearing years when she conceived, and her husband even older. I would imagine that there was an equal mix of awe, excitement, and fear as they came to grips with this news. And like Hannah before her, Elizabeth's heart was so full of gratitude that she and Zachariah dedicated their son to God. Mary was at the other end of her life when she conceived. She was young, poor, and unwed. She had no desperate prayers to conceive. She believed she had many years ahead of her to have children, and yet when God's messenger came to her, she said yes without hesitation. However, I wonder, and maybe you do too, what went on in her mind after the angel left her? Hearing the news that you are having a baby in the best of circumstances can create more than a bit of anxiety. In Mary's case, hearing that you are having a special baby conceived with the Holy Spirit had to have added even more to that stress. And like many today, she also had to deal with the societal taboo of being unwed. Both Mary and Elizabeth watched their sons grow into manhood, watched them follow paths that made them outcasts, opened them to ridicule, and ultimately led to their deaths. Through it all, their love for their sons remained undiminished. They surrendered the outcome of their beloved sons' lives to God's will, suffering the pain and heartache that went with that choice. We do the same today. Offer our children to God, hoping and praying that our children will make good choices and lead good lives. Raising and letting go of our children is never easy. From watching your babies fall as they learn to walk, to seeing their first heartbreak, to seeing them go off to college, to military service, or maybe move to another country. Through it all, we rely on the truth that God is with them always and loves them even more than we do. So we have heard stories today about mothers who made different choices for their children, some who rejoiced at becoming mothers and some who didn't. All the stories we have heard today have been different except for the fact that each of the mothers did the best they could to care for and encourage the growth and development of their child. According to the dictionary, that is the definition of nurture, to care for and encourage the growth and development of a child. Nurture is not something that only mothers do. Many women who have children of their own nurture children in some capacity. Men can be nurturing influences in the lives of their children and others. We nurture each other in this community when we gather for worship, study, or mission work. And through it, we strengthen each other's faith in the goodness and mercy of God. God is the ultimate ideal example of what it means to nurture. When Jesus asked his disciples to love one another as he has loved them, it became the duty and responsibility of all of us to nurture each other, as God continues to do to this day. Today we honor mothers and everyone who has followed Jesus' command and loved as he has loved, wanting only the best for one another. Amen.
We trust that you are pointing us in a better direction than we know.
We pray for our world. We pray that the vaccinations for COVID-19 will let us be together again.
We pray for our country. We ask you to guide our leaders into making good choices for us.
We pray for our state, for our cities, and for the communities where we live and work. Keep us safe as we move about our daily lives.
Help us to see others as you see them. Help us to love others as you love them.
Thank you so much for our moms and all the different kinds of moms who raise up to know you. In your holy name, we pray, amen.
Now join together in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. One of the ways that we know God, love God, and serve God is through our offering. Because the same Spirit that is within us while we're singing is also the same Spirit that is in us while we're giving. Because there is worship in our giving. And through your giving at this church, we are seeing people being fed. We are seeing people being led at Bible studies. We are seeing the homeless get tiny homes. And we see people getting dental care who do not have insurance through our Vena Dental Clinic next door. This church had a goal of raising $7,500 to buy half of an x-ray machine as we were going in with the First Presbyterian Church next door for Vena because they need a new x-ray machine. Well, this church has already met our goal less than 5 months into the year, and so we will continue to give until we can buy that whole machine ourselves. If you've not seen the great things being done at this church with your offerings, then please contact me, Bill Drabing, as I am the leader of the missions committee for this year. And I will give you many ways that you can see firsthand the impact that your giving is making on people and the way it changes their lives. And because we are a connectional United Methodist church, our giving is not just felt here locally or in this county or in this state, but it's felt around the world. I mean, one of the ways that you can give is by going on our website and clicking on the give link. And many ways will come up for you to give, whether it's through text, it's a transfer from the bank account, it's a PayPal. Or if you like me and like to write on paper, we take checks. There's also these little banks that we have here that for Vena Dental Clinic that every time you brush your teeth, you drop in money into the tooth and you bring the bank into us. And it's one of the ways we're raising money for a new x-ray machine for them. You see that your gifts are used here, and it's part of the way that we worship. It's part of the way that we know God, love God, and serve God here at Brighton First United Methodist Church.
One, two, three, four. Of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion until salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
like Jehovah. There's no God 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 like Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. And out of Zion till salvation comes. And out of Zion till salvation comes.
Amen.
We have come to the end of our time together today, and as we leave, I would like you to receive this blessing. In the name of the true and living Holy One, who made us for love, who saved us by love, and who loves us still, let us go in peace to love one another, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited to take part in this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of our community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more or plan to visit us in person at one of our two locations once it is safe to do so. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.